dead following his cruel crucifixion on Good Friday. And the reason it's so important is because that Jesus' resurrection defeated death and the power of sin, and all those that trust in him can look forward to eternal life with him. And so we come together this morning to rejoice with that. And today's service will be full of singing and readings. We've got a talk from our assistant pastor Mark and some prayers as well. And so it'll be a really nice time for us to come together. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come to worship you this morning. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ and his willingness to die on the cross and take the punishment of the sins that he never committed, but for those that put their trust in him. And so, Father, we rejoice this morning as well for his resurrection, the defeating of death and the power of sin, and that through it, all those that trust in him can have eternal life. And for that, we praise you, Lord. We don't deserve it, but we are reliant upon your love and your mercy and kindness to sinners like us. So we praise you this morning for who you are and for what you've done. And we ask for your blessing upon our service this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to stand and sing now. And we've got a song that we often sing at Christmas as well. This is a song about Jesus' birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. And I'll particularly point out verse number 3, which gives us the Easter story. Through the kisses of a friend's betrayal, he was lifted on a cruel cross. He was punished for a world's transgressions. He was suffering to save the lost, the likes of you and me. He fights for death. He fights for me, loosing sinners from the claims of hell. And with a shout, our souls are free, death defeated by Emmanuel. So let's stand and sing together.
Good morning again, everybody, and happy Easter. Today we're going to be looking in two parts at the story of Easter, and we're going to be thinking about two big, huge barriers that are removed at Easter time. And maybe you can start having a bit of a think about what they might be. But to start us off, I think, children, have we got a reading? Lovely. Would you like to come up? Lovely. Thank you. Shall I hold this for you? You're right holding it. Lovely.
And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, my God, where have you forsaken me?
And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in his way he breathed his last, he said, truly this man was the Son of God.
Lovely. Thank you so much. And thank you, you two, for reading as well. Brilliant. Okay. So. Now, this isn't, I'm not sure where this will work. Oh, it does. That's good. So this isn't the kitchen out there. I know it's not a picture of that, but it is a kitchen. And does anyone know what is, especially children, does anyone know what's written on the kitchen door apart from the word kitchen? Do any of you know what's written on the kitchen door? There's a sign on the kitchen door. Do any of you know? Can anyone else help out? Not clean me. Children under 12s. Yeah, basically, no under 12s in the kitchen, please. So you have to be at least 12 to go in the kitchen. Why do you think that is? What do you think that is, children? Why do you think it says no children? Yes. In case there's a fire. Yeah, because there's some very hot things in the oven, aren't there? And sometimes there's boiling water or there's sharp knives in there. But the kitchen's a good place. There's food in there, and there's drink in there, and sometimes hot chocolate in there, and all sorts of good things. It is a good place, but there's a sign that warns children, don't go in there because it can be dangerous. Okay, now this is a forklift, and when I worked at Windmill Feeds, I used to drive one of these quite a lot, and they are great because they can carry around whole pallets, things that no human could ever carry, and all you do is you pull a lever, and whoop, up it goes. It's amazing. They're so powerful. But every time I used one of these, I had to put out things like this. I had to put out signs. Signs and barriers that stop people getting anywhere near me while I was unloading vans and that sort of thing. Children, why do you think I had to do that? Why did I have to put out barriers and signs? Yeah.
So no one gets hurt,
because you could get really hurt with one of those because they're very heavy and dangerous. But they're really good. They're brilliant. But if they're not used properly, if people get in the way, it can be very dangerous. Okay. Oh. So this, does anyone know what this is? You do? Thorpe Park. Yeah, this is Thorpe Park. And those are two rides. And I've been on them both, and they are brilliant fun. But not everyone can go on them. Not everyone can go on them. You have to be 140 centimetres tall. So I measured this morning, that's about up to here on me. So if you're shorter than that, I'm sorry, you're not allowed on those rides yet. You'll have to wait till you get a bit taller. But the reason is that although it's a lot of fun, if you're too small, you won't be safe on there and you do not want to fall out. But you have to be a certain height. They're good things, they're great things, they're a lot of fun, but not everyone can go on them because it could be dangerous. There you go. It's my clever little sign. I spent quite a while doing that. Okay. Does anyone know what this is? Children, do you know what this is? You see them, they're around Crowborough. Anyone in Rooted can help? Go on in, Freddie. Absolutely, yeah. So it stops you going in there because it's electricity. It's a substation. And it's very dangerous in there. In fact, this is what one of the signs says. This is on the website. Do not enter a substation for any reason. you could be electrocuted and it's against the law. And there's quite a scary sign on it. You might be able to see that yellow sign. Looks like that. Doesn't look too welcoming, does it? But it's not meant to be. It's meant to say, stay away. This is dangerous. This is a dangerous place. If you see one of those around Crowborough, don't go in it. Maybe don't even go near it, because it's very dangerous. But what do we use electricity for? So, children, what do we use electricity for? Just shout out some things. Sorry. No. Do we use it for lights? Do we use it for the TVs? Yeah. Do we use it for phones? Some phones, yeah. We use it, don't we, for lots and lots of things. Electricity is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I don't know how long we'd survive without electricity. Not very long. It's a wonderful thing. But it can be very dangerous. If you're not trained properly and if you don't have the right equipment, it can be very, very dangerous. And it made me think about God. Because here's the thing, you see, God is very good. In fact, it says this a lot in the Bible. So this is in 1 Chronicles in the Old Testament. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then it says in Psalms, the Lord is good to all. And then it says in Nahum, he just says, the Lord is good. And then again in Psalms, you are good and do good. So God is good too. In fact, God is the best. But you know, here's the thing, is that God is so good and he is so powerful and so mighty that actually it's dangerous for us to be near him. Because we're not good. We're not good like God. The Bible says we're sinners, we're guilty, we've broken his law. And the Bible says it's very dangerous for sinners to come into contact with God. And so in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they had the temple, and it was this magnificent temple. And in the temple, there was this huge curtain. Huge curtain. And it was a big one. Okay, so it was about 30 foot wide. Now, I measured it this morning, and it's about, you see that pillar there? And that pillar there? It was about that wide, they think. That's pretty wide, isn't it, for a curtain? And do you know, it was probably about twice as high as this building. That's quite a big curtain, isn't it? And it was thick as well. This curtain was thick. And you see, in the temple, you had the Holy of Holies, and that was where God said, I'm going to live there. That's where my special presence is going to be, in the Holy of Holies. But you cannot come in or you will die. And so there was this huge curtain that was basically like a massive no-entry sign. And people couldn't go in there. It was too dangerous to go into God's presence. Because they were guilty, they weren't perfect, they weren't holy like God was. It was dangerous. There was only one person that was allowed through that curtain, and he was only allowed in once a year, and he had to follow some really strict rules. He had to wear special clothing, he had to wash, he had to do a sacrifice. There were all sorts of things that he had to do because it was such a special thing to go into God's presence. But no one else was allowed past this barrier. And it's as if God is saying, you've got to keep out. You've got to keep out because you're sinners. But then something very strange happens at Easter. Something amazing. So Jesus is on the cross. That's what we think about Good Friday. And it says this, and Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. So Jesus dies on the cross. And it's as if we're looking at Jesus dying on the cross. And then do you know what it says? It goes on to say this. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So we're taken into the temple and we see this huge curtain. Just imagine this huge curtain that's really thick, really tall. It's about 18 meters, about 60 foot, really tall and really wide. And as Jesus dies, this curtain is ripped in two from top to bottom. That's amazing. Now, I have actually got a curtain with me. And this is genuinely one of our bedroom curtains. So I have already looked for replacements to see if I can get one if needed. But are any of you up for having a go at ripping this? Do any of you want to give it a go? Yeah, go on then. Have a go. So what we need to do is try ripping it from the top. Okay, give it everything. Oh, go on. Really give it a go. Do you want to give up? Good, that's quite a relief. Save me some money. Does anyone else want to go? No, shall I have a go? I won't try too hard, just in case I'm successful. But that's really hard, isn't it? But you know, this is just a tiny little curtain. This is like a little thin thing that's just quite a cheap one. This is nothing much. And yet this one in the curtain was so much bigger, so much thicker, and yet it is ripped in half. What's going on? Well, God is doing something very special here. God is ripping the curtain open, and he's taken away this barrier that's between God and us. So what Jesus did on the cross means that God can rip away the barrier and say there's no longer a barrier. So what does this all mean then? So what? So what? Well, God has taken away the barrier between him and us. And so now anyone is welcome to come to him. And that's the beautiful news of Easter, is that now it doesn't have to be just one person in the nation that only gets in once a year with all the rules. Now anyone can come to him. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're old or young. It doesn't matter whether you're good or bad. It doesn't matter whether you're a child. Everyone is now welcome to come into God's presence because of what Jesus has done. God now says, instead of keep out, it is too dangerous for you, God now says, because of what Jesus, my son, has done, because he died, because he took the punishment for sin, now you can come into my presence. Welcome. And anyone can come in. All you need to do is to say, Jesus, please take away my sin. And you know, God loves to take away sin. He loves to forgive. And if you do that, he'll welcome you with a big hug. And I just want to encourage you. Maybe you're feeling really guilty this morning. Maybe you're thinking there's no way God would want someone like me. Maybe you're feeling a bit out of place in a church, to be honest. Or maybe you've been here for years and you've never trusted in Jesus. Well, what Jesus does at the cross is he makes the way open to God, and God says, welcome, come to me. And it is the most wonderful thing to know that we can know God as our Father, as our friend, as our King. And we can come to him at any time. We don't have to go to the temple anymore. We can pray to God when we're on our way to work, or when we're at school in the playground, or when we're at home in our bedroom. We have access to God at all times through Jesus. So that's barrier number one that's been removed. God's ripped it apart. And he says, welcome, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And in part two, we'll look at another barrier and another amazing part of Easter. Okay, thank you. Well, we're going to sing. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary. So it starts with the cross, ends with the resurrection. So when the music starts, let's stand and we'll sing again together.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the cross. We praise you for what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for the love he showed, for the welcome it gives us, for the way we can be with you, a holy God, despite our sin. We can be forgiven, and we praise you for the relief it gives us to think of the cross. We thank you so much and praise you for the resurrection. We thank you for the joy and the peace and the hope and the certainty and the purpose that come to us through Jesus's resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the children here this morning. We thank you for those who come to Thrive and those who commit themselves to teaching them. We pray that they will enjoy coming and be encouraged in coming. And as they have a special week coming up soon with the Spring Bible Weekend, we do pray that others may be encouraged to join them too. We especially pray that they might understand something of the cross and the resurrection for themselves. And we pray for those who are a bit older. Thank you for so many who go to Rooted. And we want them to have a real strong conviction in a personal way of the truth of what happened at the cross and what happened at the resurrection. And we pray it will really shape their lives, help them in their minds, motivate them in going forward. May it be a big influence on their lives, we pray. We pray also for those going through very difficult and sad times. We pray that the wonderful message of the resurrection may be understood and felt by them to transform their sad circumstances and to give a real help and a truth, which is a massive step as they cope with the situation that they're in. And we pray for us all, Lord, that this morning, as we hear about these things and sing about these things, that it will really do us good and it will point us to Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen.
So we've got quite a few away from Thrive today, holiday time. And so we've been really kind to them and we said they needn't stand up the front today and they needn't sing on their own, but we'd love you all to join in, please. So what we have done is we've come up with the Easter story in song. And we've been singing these songs in Thrive. And we would literally invite all of you to sing them with us this morning. If you don't know it, well, do the best. Some of you will do. Sing loudly if you do, please. And so we're starting with a song that helps us reflect on the life of Jesus and his awesome power and kindness. So you can stay sitting. We'll let you.
Jesus has a plan.
On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a king, and the people welcomed him gladly. They cheered and shouted Hosanna, waving palm branches in the air. We actually did that, didn't we, in Thrive? We had a go at it, waving palm branches. Not quite as joyfully, but we tried. Perhaps you can join us in this one. Atmosphere changed very quickly. The enemies of Jesus stirred up the people instead to shout, "Crucify!" And after an unjust trial, Jesus was crucified. Although this seemed like the end, it was in fact the greatest victory, as Jesus was dying so that all those who can trust in him can have their sins forgiven and have a friendship with God. So the next song is meditative and a prayer. So perhaps you could just sing this one quietly with us. Jesus did not stay dead. Death could not defeat the Son of God, and he rose again on the third day. We're going to sing one more verse of an earlier song that ties it up, and "He is Lord, He is Lord." And that one, well, the last two, could you please stand? And can you sing your hearts out? Because this is Triumph.
Thank you.
you. That was amazing. And we just hope you've enjoyed our Easter songs and that it's helped you to think a bit about the Easter story.
So we've thought about the first barrier being removed. The curtain is gone. I know. I'm just about to introduce it. So we thought about the curtain, and now we're going to think about the next big, huge barrier that is removed. See if you can work out what it is. And we do have a reading now. So who's doing the reading? Lovely. Thanks so much for being up for this. Lovely. Who's going first?
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun has risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee, and there you will see him, just as he had told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Lovely. Thank you so much. So, I want to tell you just a little bit about this person, Harry Houdini. It wasn't actually his real name, but he was born in 1874, and he died in 1926, and he was an escapologist. He loved escaping from different places, and sometimes people would try and create things to trap him, and he would have to see if he would escape. So according to the story, there's one time when someone spent 5 years creating some special handcuffs. They looked a bit like that, and he had to try and escape, and it took him over an hour, but at the end of it he came out from behind the door and he was free. No one quite knows how he does it. This is a pretty dramatic one. This is one of his more extreme ones. So you can see in the picture, he asked for his hands to be chained. It's quite small, actually, but he asked for his hands to be chained and his feet to be chained. And then he said, "What I want you to do is I want you to put me in a crate, a wooden crate, and sort of nail me down. And then I want you to lower it off the side of a tugboat into a river." What a strange thing to do. So anyway, there they are doing that. And according to the story, a few minutes later, he somehow managed to escape. And they found the crate, and it had the sort of handcuffs and things in it. But he wasn't to be found, because he had escaped. There you go. Or apparently, when he went to different cities and places, he would ask to be locked up in their prison cells to try and escape. And he sort of did that in different places, apparently. And there was one time when they locked him up, and they made sure he didn't have anything on him, like he didn't have any sort of keys hidden on him. And it took him 19 minutes to escape. But then they realised that it had actually only taken 2 minutes to escape, and he'd used the other 17 minutes to open the cells of all the other prisoners and swap them all around. Or at least so the story goes. But he loved escaping. And there is some video footage of him getting out of sort of straitjackets and things. But it's a pretty exciting story. But he loved escaping out of things. And maybe some of you have done one of these. Put your hand up, a bit of audience participation. Put your hand up if you've had a go at one of these. A good number of you. Some of you have done one this week, I think. Escape rooms, they're good fun. And Pete, you have to solve puzzles. Do you like puzzles, solving puzzles, children? Yeah? So what you do is you get locked into a room. It's quite a big room often. And then you have to solve puzzles. And then at the end of it, you'll either get a key or you'll get a code and you can get out. And you have an hour to try and get out of the room. And if you don't get out after an hour, usually it's an hour, then someone will come and let you out. So you're not stuck in there forever. But it's good fun. It's good fun. And maybe when you get a bit older, it'll be something you can do. And for anyone that hasn't done one, there are some good ones around there. They're good fun. They're entertaining. But let me just remind you of where Jesus is at this moment in the Easter story. So this is what we find in Matthew 27. So Joseph, he takes Jesus' body and he wraps him in a clean linen shroud and he lays it in his own tomb, which he had cut in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. So Jesus is in a tomb and there's a great big stone blocking the entrance. This is the second big barrier, if you hadn't guessed already. And then we find out a bit more in Matthew 27. So some of them are saying, look, he said he would rise again. Well, we don't think he's going to, but his disciples might try and steal the body. So make it secure. So Pilate says, you have a guard of soldiers. Go make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. So it's made even more secure, and guards are posted outside Jesus' tomb. And just in case we've forgotten, Jesus is dead. So Jesus is in a tomb. He's dead. He's been flogged and crucified, so he would have been very weak when he died. And then there's a huge stone blocking the entrance that was incredibly heavy. And then there's Roman soldiers outside, and they've made it even more secure. That's where Jesus is at the moment. I don't think even the escapologist, Harry Houdini, could have got out of this one. Especially being dead. But look at what happens. I won't read it all, but this is what we've just had read for us. So Mary and Mary, they're going to the tomb. And they're thinking, who's going to roll the stone away from us? Because it's huge. Who's going to do it for us? And then they get there, and looking up, they see that the stone has been rolled back. And it says it was very large. The stone's been moved. And then there's a young man there sitting in a white robe. And he says, don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, aren't you? He's not here because he has risen. He's gone. He was here. That's where he was. But he's risen. And the two women, they run because they're trembling and astonished. They are astonished at what has happened. They're amazed. The barrier that was keeping Jesus in there and stopping people get in there has been taken away. And Jesus has risen. Well, so what? So what? Well, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And so that means death is not the end. And that is the best news for Christians. Because here's what the Bible says about the Easter story, is that just as Jesus rose again, so all those who follow him, all those who trust in him, will rise again too. That they too will be resurrected to a new creation, a new world where there won't be any death or pain or suffering. It'll be this wonderful new world. It's described as heaven. Jesus says, that's what you've got for you after death, because I've conquered death. It's what keeps Christians going through life, that this isn't all there is. There is more. But you know, there's also a warning in here that death is not the end. And the Bible's very strong on this, that if you're not safe in Jesus, if your sins haven't been forgiven, then there is judgment waiting. It's what the Bible says. And Jesus talks about it again and again and again, not because he enjoys talking about it, but because he loves us and he wants to warn us that there are serious consequences of rejecting Jesus. And so death is not the end. And that is wonderful news if you follow Jesus. And I want to plead with you to follow Jesus. And even children, I want to say to you, follow Jesus while you can. But also, he's with us in life. We don't have to wait till we die to kind of get the benefits. He's with us in life. And so as we live our lives, we know that Jesus is alive. He's conquered death. He's the reigning king. We know he's in control of the world. We can pray to him. And it is a wonderful thing in life to know Jesus is alive. We can pray to the King of the universe, the one who's sustaining all things, knowing that he is alive. It is brilliant news for us. But I just want to finish on this as well, just briefly. Jesus proves he is the Son of God by rising from the dead. and many witnesses saw him. And if you've got questions about it, please do come and speak to us after. But Jesus proves he is the Son of God, so we should worship him and obey him. It's good if we go away from here in a little bit and we're sort of thinking, that's great news, and we're celebrating, we're looking forward to getting the chocolate Easter egg. You know, that's good. But if he's the Son of God, as he says he is, then there should also be a sense in us that says, Jesus, I want to worship you. And I want to obey you because you are the Son of God. And if you can defeat death, then you are worth worshiping. And so I want to encourage us as we go away here to go away with a sense of hope in Jesus, a sense of celebration of what Jesus has done, but also a sense of worship and a sense of, I want to obey him, because that's what he deserves. So at Easter, there's been a lot I haven't talked about, but at Easter we celebrate the curtain being torn in two so that we can come into God's presence through Jesus, whoever you are, whatever you've done. And the second barrier of the stone has been moved away as Jesus conquers death and he walks out of the tomb alive. And he's alive today. And that is pretty good news. It is very good news. So happy Easter. Like I say, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to talk to myself or John Cowley, or maybe you've got a friend here or a family member that you can talk to. Do talk to them. I'm sure they'd love to do that. But we're going to sing again now. It's one that we love singing on Easter morning. See what a morning gloriously bright with the dawning of hope in Jerusalem. So let's sing again about the joy of Easter Sunday.
Sit down. Just in finishing, we've got a few notices to give out. Firstly, if you can, do stay after the service so we can have a cup of coffee and refreshments together. And as Mark said, if you've been interested in some of the things that you've heard this morning or you've got questions, then please do speak to the person you came with or Mark or myself or whoever you know here. We'd be really pleased to chat with you. And if you'd like a Bible or a gospel to take home to read and find out more about the life of Jesus, then please do ask someone because we'd love to share that with you. If you are visiting today, then we have services every Sunday at 11:15 and 6:30, and you're very, very welcome. It'd be lovely to see you along. And next Sunday, we have a fellowship lunch after the morning service. So if you'd like to come to that, and we'd love to see you all, could you just jot your name down on a list that's on the board in the foyer just out here? And it'd be lovely to have everyone together and to be able to spend time together and have a nice lunch as well. And then finally, in closing for church members, there's a church a meeting on Tuesday evening at 7:30. I think that's all the notices. And Spring Bible Weekend on the 17th and 18th of May. The Great Adventure. So this is for children, primary school age children. And it's a Saturday and a Sunday morning. And yeah, you can see up on the board. Games, Bible teaching, activities and crafts. And last year was an absolute blast. And I'm sure it will be this year. And the you'll be able to book online on the church website. So even if you're not old enough, perhaps you know some people that might like to come along, and please do invite them, and we would love to have them. There are flyers at the back of the church, so if you do know people that would like to come along, grab one of those and pass them on and drop them off to people that you know, because it will be great to have as many children along as possible. Totally good. Okay, well, before we go, let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had this morning, but we thank you most of all for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for sinners like us. And we thank you that through the tearing of the curtain, what that represented in having us having access to God, Lord, we are so privileged and we thank you for it. And we pray that this is a privilege that we won't just ignore, but take away into our own lives. Father, we thank you so much for the rolled away stone and for Jesus coming back to life in breaking the power of sin and death so that people like us can be free from it. And so, Father, we give you thanks for who you are, for what you've done, for the way that we are so undeserving, and yet you are so kind and merciful. And so, Father, I pray that each one of us here this morning might go away with something to think about if we've never thought about it before, or if we have thought about it before, that it would be refreshed within us and that we would see the wonder, the beauty, and the power of the empty grave. Father, we praise you, for you deserve all the glory and all the praise that we could ever give. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.